From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. It's being described as one of the worst industrial disasters in Washington state history. An implosion at a paper mill in Longview has already cost the lives of 11 people. Further, it could also become an economic disaster, as this large employer could be shut down for a long time due to a large-scale investigation, repairs, and environmental cleanup, including at sensitive waterways. Today on the show, you'll hear from my colleague at OPB about this unfolding tragedy and what comes next. The questions about causes and safety concerns are only beginning. Then, at the end of the show, we'll talk about some good news as a KLCC reporter will detail how the Eugene Airport is getting more funds for more upgrades. That's next on Oregon on the Record. When I think about industrial disasters, I don't think of paper mills. But as we've all learned over the past week, the caustic chemicals used in such an industry can explode and kill. Today on the show, my colleague at OPB has been covering this disaster at the Longview paper mill and brings us up to date on this tragedy of historic proportions. Eric Newman, the Southwest Washington Bureau Chief for OPB. Eric, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, good morning.
So let's just start from the top. Maybe just take us through what happened at the Longview paper mill.
Sure. So on Tuesday morning, there was an accident at the Nippon Dynawave Packaging Company, which is a pulp and paper mill in Longview, Washington. It's about an hour north of Portland. Basically, there was a implosion is one of the terms being used at a large chemical tank on the paper mill's property. So basically this chemical holding tank that held 900,000 gallons or had a 900,000 gallon capacity of chemicals ruptured in some way and spilled this chemical on the facility. On Saturday, investigators confirmed that they had removed all of the missing individuals who died in the accident. So there was 9 staff members who were recovered. There's a total of 11 people who were killed in the accident. There's another 7 who were injured. And that's kind of where things stand right now. So as of now, investigators are beginning the bigger investigation into why this accident occurred.
Okay. Is there any danger in the surrounding environment right now? Have they been able to contain, I guess, off-gassing or whatever from those chemicals?
There does not appear to be any danger at this time. According to a press conference that was held on Saturday, folks from the city of Longview, as well as emergency managers who've been working on this incident, talked about some of those different concerns. You know, the chemical that was involved in this accident was this very caustic chemical that's referred to as white liquor, which is used to break down wood to make things like paper and cardboard. And the descriptions that I've read of it are it's akin to like really concentrated bleach. So it's a pretty nasty chemical. There was I think I said 900,000 gallons before. Yeah. That was how much could be in this container. The last estimate that I heard was that there was 500,000 gallons of the chemical that actually spilled. So a big concern has been, where did this go? What did it do to local water, whether that's drinking water in Longview or this paper mill is on the Columbia River? So what was the impact of on the Columbia River? I guess to get back to your question, the biggest concern seems to be in some of the, there's sort of these like ditch causeway type things around the paper mill near neighborhoods in Longview. That's kind of where the biggest concern has been. There's been a lot of fish that have died in these little channels. The city has been flushing out all their water systems, so they say there's no risk to people and their drinking water at this point. There was also a lot of concern about the Columbia River, but it sounds like the chemical was pretty much contained on the paper mill's property before it could get to the river. So there was initially an elevated pH level that was identified in the river, but it appears that very little got into the river, and investigators have said there's no actual concern to the Columbia.
Okay. Describe, or as best you can, the sort of safety record of this plant. Have they ever experienced something even remotely like this before?
So there's definitely a lot of scrutiny on this company. Again, it's named Nippon DynaWave Packaging Company. It's part of this kind of conglomeration of pulp and paper and lumber facilities right in the same area. So there's a Weyerhaeuser mill right next to the Nippon one. There's another similar entity called Norpak right next to it. Nippon is owned by a Japanese company. Mm-hmm. There have been several fines in recent years from labor and industries in Washington, but none of those fines really resemble accidents like what happened this week or last week, I should say. So there have been some sort of like minor penalties imposed because the facility had like a lack of guardrails, or there were employees who were not wearing masks during COVID, or and there are a number like two, I think, open inspections at the facility right now. One of them is related to a sinkhole on the property, and another I've read is related to a valve on another tank. So nothing really seems to be on the scale or resembling in a strong way the accident that happened on Tuesday.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Eric Newman, the Southwest Washington Bureau Chief for OPB, talking about the Longview paper mill. I am also wondering, obviously, the main concern is the victims and any people who are injured. But obviously, I imagine this was a pretty good size employer. Is it thought that this is total destruction and they'll have to rebuild a new plant? Or is it something that can be repaired and could come back online sometime in the near future?
There's definitely a concern within the community about what this could mean for the paper mill, for the specific facility. And I think that relates more to litigation and sort of what could happen to this company because of these 11 fatalities that occurred with this accident, as well as the seven injuries that employees have suffered as well. You know, paper mills have been disappearing throughout the Pacific Northwest. This is a large employer in Longview. And so I think there is a lot of concern for what this will mean for the company. I will say I was in Longview on Saturday. There was a fundraiser for the families of the victims in this accident. And I was talking to people there, and I've talked to a number of people over the past week, including union members. It's a unionized facility, and there's lots of trade unions in Longview. And people don't want the company to go away. Like it's a pretty big tent pole for the economy of Longview. So I think there's a sense that that would be sort of just a worse effect of this if it resulted in the company disappearing.
Yeah. You were there at a fundraiser this weekend. Is there anything you can tell us about the victims? I don't know if folks were shared with you what kind of people these were.
We haven't heard a ton from the victims. There's been a lot of sort of management on the part of the pulp and paper union to shield the victims' families from the media for mm-hmm. understandable reasons. People sure. are experiencing a lot of grief right now because of these accidents. There was a memorial on Sunday for one of the victims. You know, just I think we're just hearing kind of statements from family members talking about their loved ones and how much of a tragedy this is. I guess I don't have any specific details that come to mind. Sure. I've reached out to a number of victims, but I haven't heard back from anybody at this point. because I think everyone's just processing this accident.
Sure. And if I read the coverage that you all put together, this is perhaps one of the deadliest disasters in the state of Washington for quite some time.
That's what Governor Bob Ferguson said when he was at the paper mill at a press conference, I believe, on Wednesday. He described it as possibly, I think I'm going to not have his words exactly correct, but potentially the deadliest industrial accident in recent memory in Washington state. There's kind of like a lot of descriptive words in there. But people in Longview have talked about how this is the worst accident they've experienced since the eruption of Mount St. Helens. I think however you look at it, it's a pretty devastating accident in Washington state, and particularly in this relatively small community.
Yeah. We talked about the environment around the mill. Is it safe enough now that they have begun the physical investigation to determine the cause?
That's really what's happening now. I think there was, I'm sure, some level of investigation that was happening in recent days, but they were trying to remove the victims from the site, and so over the until Saturday, and so I think that really did slow down the actual investigation that was happening. So there's a federal agency on site that I believe arrived on Wednesday called the U.S. Chemical Safety and Hazard Investigation Board. They're looking into the specific cause of this accident, and so that's what emergency responders said on Saturday at the press conference, was essentially, now that they've recovered the victims, they're going to really be able to start focusing on the investigation fully.
Okay. And I know it's very early. Has anybody said, we think the cause was X, or it's a blank slate right now?
I haven't heard anything that, you know, from any sort of official source, you know, positing any kind of theories.
Okay. I know you were talking about members talking about that they want the plant to stay, but were there other community members talking about their concerns about safety and living so close to something that obviously in the worst conditions could become a deadly site?
You know, I brought that up when I just talked to community members there, some of whom worked in the either like logging or just trades in the area there. I guess I should say like at the logging mill operations that was next to the Nippon Dynawave facility. Mm-hmm. And I think people are pragmatic about the risks of working in the trades and, you know, say that they take safety really seriously. So the most immediate concerns that I've heard are that, how this could have changed, water quality for drinking water in the area. But nobody really said that this had made them feel dramatically different about safety concerns at the paper mill, at least the people that I spoke to.
Okay. And what about, I don't know, elected officials, regulators, folks who have leadership positions? Has anybody talked about their concerns?
I think they've just been talking about wanting to focus on the investigation. That was the tone of Governor Ferguson when he was down here. One of our local representatives, Representative Marie Glusenkamp Perez, has been in Longview for a couple days. She did express concerns about the Chemical Safety Hazard Board that I mentioned, about its budget being affected under the current administration, and how that could potentially hamper investigations into this accident. But I haven't heard any details beyond those concerns that were mentioned in the last couple of days.
Okay. You were there along with a team since the very beginning, you know, and not to say to make a journalist part of the story, but what was it like covering something like that? I mean, obviously a tragedy occurred. Give us a sense of what it was like being a lot closer than any of us were as you were reporting.
I mean, it's just a sad story. That was you get a sense for how linked everyone is in the Longview Kelso community to this. I think that was a takeaway that I got from it. I spoke to the mayor of Longview in recent days, community members at this big barbecue fundraiser that was held on Saturday. It really seems like everybody in the community is really 1 or 2 degrees removed from somebody who was affected by this accident. The paper mill itself is a large private company, so it was pretty hard to really, get a closer sense of what this accident looked like. And we're also dealing with an accident that involves extremely, dangerous chemicals. So it's not like they were giving tours of the site or anything like
Sure.
that. So there was a pretty big scrum of reporters that were there from national and local media outlets, all kind of around the gate of this facility, which is where the press conferences were being held. And yeah, it really just seemed like from everybody that I talked to in the community, there was just a real sense of sadness about this accident.
Yeah. Eric, my last question for you is, and maybe it's hard to answer, but you mentioned there was some concern about water contamination. In disasters like this, is there a time out in the future where they say, okay, if we don't find any chemical levels in the Columbia or other places, then we know we're out of the woods? Is there still a sense that, at least from an environmental impact, things could still be problematic?
That's a good question. The people from the Public Works Department with the city of Longview, and I guess I'm speaking about the drinking water in the city of Longview,
Okay.
talked about how there were ways to resolve this contamination. And I'd have to go back and listen to those specific conversations to be able to give you details. But they didn't express real serious concerns about flushing out the contaminated water in the area, even with the presence of I think like the last number I saw was like 2,000 dead fish that had been identified in some of these waterways within the city. The officials that talked about the Columbia, they basically said that the contamination from the facility was contained on the paper mill's lot fairly quickly before it could go into the Columbia. And they talked about seeing two peaks of pH levels, that were related to this Columbia in the river, on the day of the accident. So, one right around the time that happened at like 7:15 in the morning, and then another a little bit later that day. So the fact that there have been these couple peaks and then it seems to have subsided with all the focus in the area in recent days seems like it's pretty well under control, but the cleanup is obviously still happening, so we'll just have to keep following it to see if that changes.
Yeah, maybe a little tiny bit of good news in all this tragedy. He's Eric Newman, Southwest Washington Bureau Chief for OPB. Eric, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for your insight on this terrible tragedy.
Sure, thank you.
Now let's hear how Eugene's airport is getting yet another upgrade. KLCC's Zach Ziegler. Zach, always appreciate you joining. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no problem.
You've been covering what's going on at EUG, the Eugene Airport. What's the latest?
Yeah, so they recently received a federal grant as a little earlier this month, and it helped them get over the top on the funding that they need to start one of the projects that has to do with the big expansion out there. This one is relating to the baggage system that they have there and getting those bags to and from the planes.
Well, that's I'm sure that's good news to most people. I know baggage claim is somewhat of an underreported misery sometimes for travelers. Talk about how this fits into the overall plan, because obviously Eugene Airport is getting busier and they've got some big plans.
Yeah, the big plan, the ultimate thing that they're trying to work towards is adding what they call Concourse C, another stretch where planes can pull up and deplane and onboard people. just so they can get more flights out of there, because it's pretty much packed on the schedule. I mean, has anyone who's been there, gotten on a flight at 5 a.m. or gotten off of a flight at, 11 p.m. knows it's a busy place. And so they really want to add these extra gates. And this is one of the things they kind of have to do first is get baggage ready. You know, mm-hmm. they also have to get ticket counters ready for
sure.
more places for people to check in, those kind of projects.
Yeah. Any idea of timing when this project may all be completed?
Yeah. So the hope is that this one will go out to bid this summer, that they'll hopefully be getting some work done starting next year, and the time frame on construction. For the most part, we won't actually notice it. So the big thing that's in question on this is setting up of a conveyor belt system in the back that helps with baggage screening, so that these things just one continuous smooth flow as they're screened coming in and out. So, you know, it's something that we as visitors won't necessarily see, but it'll be a big deal for the people. At the tail end of the project, we will see some changes to baggage claim. So, you know, the pardon our dust signs might come out then.
Sure, sure. And I know you've talked to the airport director several times. She must be thrilled with the fact that people are using it. Is Eugene really kind of cutting into PDX traffic? People who used to drive up I-5 are now staying put and taking EUG?
That's kind of the hope, you know, especially given that, boy, if you do that drive up, you have to fight through a lot of traffic. I know I've got a day where I'm having to take my daughter to do her first solo flight out this summer, and it has to be out of Portland because you can't have connecting flights with a minor flying alone, and so I have to go up there. I'm taking a whole day off of work to make that happen, to get there and back, because the traffic can be so rough. And so it really does offer itself as, hey, don't do that fight and then have to go through the big airport fight getting through security. Come here. It's really their thing. And the fact that, you know, most flights are at capacity and most of the time the gates are at capacity, they say it really shows the need to have that other alternative to the big airport in Portland.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's very exciting. Zach Ziegler, reporter for us here at KLCC, talking about the expansion plans at EUG. Zach, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Sure thing.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. What started as a group of friends in a kind of book club has now blossomed into a published anthology of local writers and poets. We'll talk to the founders tomorrow. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.